Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we are learning Mishlei Perek Chof Hei, the 25th chapter of the book of Mishlei. If you've got this far in Mishlei, you have now finished essentially two of the three main books of Mishlei. We noticed that the first nine prokem were their own framework, and then it started again. And that last section, the second section of the book, went up to Perek Chof Dalet. We're now beginning a new section. That's why the first pasuk of Chof Hei is Gam Eile Mishlei Shlomo. These are also the Mishalim, the parables of Shlomo, Asher Hitzikoi, Anshei Chizkiya, Melech Yehuda, that were transcribed by the men of Chizkiya, the king of Yehuda. We're going to look at this parak in two distinct sections. We're going to look at Psukim Beis to Yud Gimel as Mishalim, parables as they relate to kings and leaders. And then the last section of this parak is Yud Dalet to Chof Ches, 14 to 28, where it talks about Mishalim, mashals about midos and good characteristics. We're going to see that this perek of 28 psukim is divided roughly down the center between these two different topics. We're going to consider generally what's going on with the sefer and then a few psukim in this perek. So generally what's going on with the sefer, let's take a look at that first pasuk again of this section. The first pasuk in perek Chof Hei reads again as follows, Gam Eile Mishlei Shlomo, these are also the proverbs of Shlomo, Asher Hitikoi, Anshei Chizkiya, Melech Yehuda. They were transcribed or copied by the men of Chizkiya, the king of Yehuda. A few basic questions to understand about this pasuk and hence about this entire section. What does it mean that they copied it down? Where were they copying it from exactly? There are a number of suggestions among the Mefarshim. For instance, Rav Sadia Gaon, the Rasag, suggests that up till now, the first two books of Mishlei were already written down. They were passed from generation to generation in the written form. But at the time of Chizkiya, these ideas of Shlomo were oral. That means to say that they were told from family to family, from parents to child, from grandparents to grandchild, but they had not yet been transcribed. So this is describing that these were written, the same author, Shlomo HaMelech, yet they were not yet transcribed, and that's what Chizkiya did as a service, and thereby added this as the last section of Sefer Mishlei. There's another suggestion in the name of Rav Avraham Govishon, who says a very interesting idea. He said that Shlomo HaMelech actually had much interaction in his foreign policy with other nations, and therefore these are the Mishalim, this last section of the book, are those which he sent to other nations and were later transcribed by Chizkiya or Anshei Chizkiya, as they went out and they went and collected from the archives of other kingdoms his ideas. We already see this idea being pretty clear in Tanakh, where we see in Melachim Aleph the interaction of Shlomo HaMelech and the kings around him, and how the Anshei Mizrach, the people around the rest of the world, would come and visit him. We know about his interaction with the Queen of Sheba. And we also know, it's interesting that in Josephus, he describes how that Shlomo HaMelech not only had an alliance in terms of finance and trade with Tyre, the Phoenician kingdom of Tyre, but there was also an intellectual trade which was going on, where he would interchange with Hiram, the king of Tyre, Mishalim. So we see this idea, and what is being said over here is this is a transcription of those Mishalim, which is to be found in the last part of three parts of Sefer Mishlei. There's a third possibility, and that's in Avos Derabbi Nosson, the very beginning, the word he'etikoi, which means to transcribe it, means pirushu. The way they explain it is, this was the explanation of Chizkiya, meaning he was able to add at this point, obviously still prophetically, to the ideas of Shlomo in a way that explained them more clearly to us. Which leads us to the next question, that is, who were Anshei Chizkiya exactly? Who were these people doing the transcribing and copying or explaining? So if you look in Deri Yamim Beis, Perek Lamed, and Lamed Aleph, you'll see that at the times of the reign of Chizkiya, there was a proliferation of spiritual rejuvenation. There was a proliferation of Torah study. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tzav Tzadi Dalet, Beis tells us about how even the smallest children from north to south knew all the most intricate levels of Tyros. And that means to say that we understand that there was this moment in history where spiritual renaissance was on the rise, and it was in the wake of this that this happened. There is a debate, as the Da'at Mikra suggests, between whether this is the Anshei Chizkiah specifically, the generation, or it became a continued progress, and the people who followed him, perhaps even to the times of Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, which is, as an example, when Tehillim was sealed, the Mishlei was also sealed at the same time. We see similar ideas when it comes to Anshei Chizkiah in this regard. Let's focus on a few specific psukim. Pasuk Beis is a very fascinating concept. The pasuk says, "Kavod Elokim Haster Davar." The honor of God is to hide matters or hidden matters. And the glory of a king is to plumb, to investigate a matter. What does this mean? What is the contrast being set up over here? So Malam says, well, when it comes to the matters of godliness, spiritual matters exist outside the framework of time and place, outside the framework of logic. So by analyzing them with logic within the confines of time and place, we are doing a disservice to that idea, because that idea pervades and is much, much bigger than the system in which we are measuring it. So imagine that you went to Niagara Falls and you had a thimble and you said, you know what, I'm going to measure Niagara Falls, and you go very bravely, go on the Maid of the Mist, and you take out your little thimble and you whip it out just by the spray, and you capture a thimbleful, and people, you take it back to the state that you live in, and people say, so what's Niagara Falls like? And you say, here it is, and you show them the thimble. Well, that's not very grand after all, is it? But that's because the instrumentation that you were using was very limited. So all you could collect of the incredible amount of water that's flowing over per second over the top of the Niagara Falls, you caught a thimble worth of it. So, well, that's your instrumentation, and therefore you are limited to your instrumentation. So says the Malbim, Kavod Elokim Haster Davar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ideas are too deep for this world, which is why it needs to be understood benachas, it needs to be understood in hester, which means to say that's why there's regulations on how we can teach Ma'aseh Merkava, how we can teach Ma'aseh Bereishis, only in limited groups, because it is prone to misunderstanding because of its very nature. Whereas when it comes to kings, when it comes to policy, when it comes to politics, the most healthy matter is transparency. Transparency is the only way to really succeed. The Ralbag actually used to take it in a different direction. He says this refers not to the ideas of the divine versus the ideas of man. It refers to how a king would interrogate versus how Hashem would interrogate. When Hashem looks at a human being, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees the very DNA that he created and doesn't need any explanation as to what that person wants or that person did. Whereas when it comes to a king, Basar Vadam, human flesh and blood, well, it's very hard to know what's in another person's heart, and they need to interrogate and ask and investigate and compare notes and do the background checks and the profile checks, because it's very hard. So therefore, Kavod Elokim Haster Davar, the honor of Hashem is the fact that even hidden things he knows. Whereas when it comes to a regular king looking at Din, Kavod Melachim Chakor Davar, it's the best thing for kings to do a lot of investigating to understand real judgment. So it's all about judgment rather than the concepts themselves. We're going to move on to Pasuk Yud Aleph, a very beautiful Pasuk. Tapuchei Zahav B'maskiyos Kesef, like golden apples in silver showpieces, Davar Davur Al Ofanov, is a phrase well turned. This is a phrase which is actually used by Rashi very many times throughout Tanakh. You see, Rashi, like many of the French Rishonim, medieval commentators, did not actually make an introduction to his Pirush. Unlike, let's say, the Ibn Ezra or the Rambam, who actually explain what they're about to do before they do it, Rashi did not do that. So you start the Torah and you see the first Rashi. But what's the methodology? What's Rashi's mission? What's he trying to actually do? Well, you find it in certain places around Tanakh where Rashi does tell you what his mission is. And there are numerous places. And Rashi says, as an example, in Bereishis Perek Gimel Pasuk Ches, where he talks about how there are many midrashim as to what it means that the voice of Hashem is walking in the Garden of Eden. And he says the following. Rashi says very, very clearly, "V'ani lo basi, I am only coming elo lipshuto shel mikra," and to understand what the text means, lipshuto, in its most basic form. "Ulagara hamiyasheves divrei hamikra davar davur al ofanav." A matter which is situated about, the way it's translated in the Mechon Mamre translation, is a well-turned phrase. This is Rashi expresses this elsewhere in the Torah, in Shmos Perkov Gil, Posuk Beis, about Lo Sarei Soya Achare Rabbim L'Ra'ois, And Rashi says it again in Bereshis Perek Lamed Zayin Pasuk Beis about Enetolos Yaakov Yosef Ben Shvayis Reishana. Why we need to know about Yosef specifically as Yaakov's legacy continues again in Shmos Perek Yud Alef Pasuk Dalet. Rashi says the same thing, always quoting the same Pasuk. What does it actually mean? Well, Rashi in Mishle explains what it means, that it means referring to Al-Kanoi. It means to say a matter which is on its resting place, on its seat, in a way that it fits well. I need to be able to look at these words and it needs to balance. It needs to all make sense on its own terms, not from with external explanations or ideas. Let's see, does it work itself? In fact, there is some people point out that the word ofan also means a wheel, and it needs to be smooth. It needs to be sitting and situated and supportive in the way that is correct. That's not the way that Rashi understands it. Rashi here explains himself as meaning to say something which is well-established. But nonetheless, this is Rashi's hallmark mission statement, is this pasuk of how he does his pirush on the rest of Tanakh. Fascinating historical point. We're going to move on to and conclude with Pasuk Chof Aleph in the Perek, where it says, Im ra'ev sona acho hechiluhu lechem. If your enemy is hungry, feed him bread. Vim tzomei hashkehu mayim. And if he is thirsty, give him water. What does that mean? So Malvim says it's the most counterintuitive way, the most successful way of dealing with wrongdoers. You have a person who insults you. You have a person who cuts you off. You have a person who is negative towards you. Don't go think about revenge and try to one-up them. Go give them a gift. Go do something special for them. Go do something we've considered for them. You know what's going to happen? As the next pasuk says in Mishle, very clearly, Ki gecholim atochoyse al roshoy. You're putting coals in their head. V'Hashem yeshalim loch, and Hashem will pay back to you. What does this mean? The Malbim explains very simply. Is that the shame that the person will feel? Look at this good guy. I hurt him, I insulted him, and look how nice he is to me. How could I have done that to him? Obviously, we're not talking about abusive situations here. We're talking about mistakes that happen, perhaps somewhat mistakes. But nonetheless, over here, if you're nice to that person, there couldn't be a more shaming way of treating that person rather than trying to one-up them, which actually enters the ring with them, which is perhaps what they wanted. The Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Nun Beis and other takes it in a different direction and explains that one of the names for the Yetzer Hara, one of the names for the evil inclination, is Sone, is a one who hates you, your adversary. And it quotes our pasuk, Im ra'ev sona acho hechiluhu lechem, im tzomei hashkehu mayim. So what does this mean? As Rashi explains here in Mishle, it means to say that there's only one way to put out the fire of the Sone, and that is bring him to the Beis Medrash. He wants to eat all kinds of things. He tells you he wants to indulge in all kinds of earthly and pleasures of the flesh. Well, you know what? Bring him to the lechem of Torah. Feed him something else. Feed him the passion of Torah, because that is the only antidote, the only way to be able to resolve and dissolve that issue itself. These are a few psukim, and of course this is an invitation to spend more time, because as we've been seeing, Mishle does not have one specific theme. We have so many different psukim. This is an invitation to look at every one of them with the same joy and passion. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.